This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
The top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris. Rick Worthington joins us from the KBOI newsroom. And for those of you who don't know, you have not had a tremendous 2017.
No, I'd love to have a redo. It's been tough, for sure.
Yeah, this is kind of a personal subject, but you've put it out there on Facebook, and it was in the newspaper, and or at least on one of the TV stations and things like that. But your family's going through kind of a tough period physically.
So I'll give you a little background. All first, right. In February, we discovered that my wife has breast cancer.
Yeah.
And about the middle of February, just about the time she turned 43, so we're fairly young, she had a mastectomy and started undergoing treatment for breast cancer.
Sure.
And it's a difficult time. I'm certainly difficult for her.
Her name's Kristen.
My wife, Kristen,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we began that process in February, and it's something that we've been going through as a family, because it does take a full family effort to try and get somebody through something like that. So we began that in February. Now, what makes this a little more difficult and a little more unique, I have 4 children, and we found out at the beginning of this month that my 13-year-old son, Nicholas, has a rare type of cancer that is affecting his bones. And from the beginning of this month until just recently, he's been at St. Luke's as they've tried to figure out exactly what it is and how to treat it. So I have cancer with 2 members of my immediate family, and it's been hard. It's been very hard.
Now, in regard to your son, apparently at some point you're going to be traveling to Seattle.
Yeah. In fact, we needed to start a fundraiser right away when we found out that we were going to have to take a trip to Seattle. So he will go to Seattle Children's. We're going to meet with a very specific doctor who is, I'm told, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm taking somebody's word for it.
Okay.
The doctor that we're going to see is basically the world authority in this particular type of cancer. It's called rhabdomyosarcoma. And only about 300 cases of this comes up every year. And sadly, my 13-year-old son is one of those victims.
Yeah.
And it's a positive deal. But the doctors in Seattle will then be able to discuss this particular case with other doctors, including our own here in Boise at St. Luke's, to talk about the best way to move forward with treatment. But he did start chemotherapy last week. So now, Friday last week was the...
Now, didn't he and your wife undergo chemo or will undergo chemo?
They did. Last Friday, they underwent chemotherapy on the same day. Same time, both having chemo.
Yeah,
it was awful.
He's only 13, but he's dropped some weight too, right?
Yeah, Nicholas, we call him Nico. It's his nickname. Nico played football, he wrestled, and he played basketball almost all the way through May.
And we're not talking about a huge kid anyway.
He's the little guy
a
in the
lot
class.
Of heart, though. Yeah.
Yeah. But he loves to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you talk about a wrestler. I mean, so, you know, pound for pound, he did pretty well this year.
Oh, you bet.
Really very athletic. But yeah, it started, he didn't want to ride his bike the last 2 weeks of school. His back was hurting him.
Ouch.
And so we took him to the doctor about a week after he was complaining about it, and they took an x-ray and said, you know, we really don't see anything skeletal, so if it's muscular, he pulled a muscle, give him some ibuprofen, ice it a little bit, and he should be just fine. But over the next week and a half, he was having a hard time holding anything in.
Wow.
The extreme nausea would just come over the top of him, and then he started to not only lose weight, but he couldn't get up and get around. It was getting worse. So when we took him to the doctor, they did an MRI, and they discovered that the tumor was in his back, and it had attacked two of the vertebrae in his back. And so basically he had a broken back, and that's what the tumor had done to him. So the overall problem is not just the tumor, but tumors do what cells do. They take in certain things. In this case, it's sugar, glucose, sure. And they release lots of nasty chemicals, and those chemicals, along with the extra calcium from his bones, was attacking his kidneys. And then once your kidneys start to malfunction, that affects your liver, and then everything goes all out of whack. So that's why we were in the hospital as long as we were, 17 days, just to get his chems back in line. So it's been a fight and a hard one.
Well, talk about how you refocus in something like this. But
remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Talking with KBOI News Director Rick Worthington this morning about a couple of members of his immediate family.
Mm-hmm. Wife and son.
Have cancer. And I don't know if you ever get used to anything, but your wife gets cancer. I guess you accept it, whatever you do. I don't know. I haven't had to deal with that, thank God. But so you're dealing with your wife having cancer. Then your son has cancer. Now you got to deal with both of them having cancer. How do you do that? How do you refocus?
Well, I think it starts with having a really good family and support structure around you. You know, this is definitely not something you do by yourself.
No.
And I'm glad that you've never had to go through this because it's hard. And it's hard on a number of levels, because first, it's hard on you emotionally. And I think for me, there was some guilt in it as well, because it's my wife that has cancer and my son that has cancer, not me, you know?
Yeah.
So, and we're all, when we're in that position, on some level, we're glad as hell it's not us.
Yeah, that's true.
But
there's some guilt.
There's guilt with that.
So I can speak for myself. Certainly there was some of that guilt and some of that wanting to take that burden from them. More than that, though, I think in my case, I came to a conclusion that I couldn't sit and feel sorry for myself, that I was going to have to do more, be more than just your average dad and husband.
Yeah.
So first, you should know that we got lucky in one case. I guess if you're looking for silver linings, here's one. My wife had started chemotherapy already in March and had been through the big, tough stuff that she originally had to go through. If there are doses of chemo, the heavy stuff is behind her. So now she's in a weekly regimen of chemo, much like my son, and it's not quite as hard on her. Although we're just kind of getting into it and figuring out what it's doing to her body, and it certainly did zap her a little bit this week. So we've had family here that we've been able to lean on. Her mother and father are here in town. My mom and dad from Northern California came up to help us out. And we've had lots of other family members are like, just tell us when you need us.
Sure.
And then you lean on them the best you can. And then you lean on the friends that you have in town as well.
Now, speaking of help.
Yes.
This is one of those situations where, well, you know, they don't give away chemo for free, and they don't give away trips to Seattle and treatment and whatnot for free generally.
So financially, as a provider in our household, my wife stays at home with our kids and does not work. So I'm fortunate that I have pretty decent insurance through our company. But that doesn't cover what it's going to cost. So we'll have a family deductible that we'll most certainly have met already.
Yeah,
and then there are a number of things that you have to pay percentages of and other things that is not picked up. And travel is one of them.
Basically, at minimum, this is going to cost you guys at least 50 grand, right?
Well, I'm not sure what the total is, to be very honest, but just to be upfront,
yeah,
I don't know what the costs are because I don't want to look at that because
I understand
in the world of stressing out, finances for a provider will be one of them.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I used to have a savings account. I don't have one any longer. But fortunately, when we found out that we were going to have to make this trip to Seattle for Nico, we put together a little GoFundMe page and real hot and fast social media campaign to try and draw some attention to it.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate that in this industry, I have some people that know a lot of people.
Sure.
And helped me out and pushed it out. So we've gotten roughly 1,200 shares on Facebook and a lot of retweets as well. And we've raised some money.
Yeah. As of this morning, it I'm on the GoFundMe page right now on the internet. And as of this morning, it says that in just 6 days, 195 different people have donated something and that they have raised so far $18,750.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
I know that it will cost a lot more than that,
at
least just to meet, you know, some of the, by the way, this is not a thing that goes on for just a year. This is probably a 2 or 3 year plan of how you, you know, get everybody fixed it. If that's the best way to put it, healed. So we made the page. It's called the Worthington Family Healing Fund. And we're asking people to go and you can Google it. You can look it up on GoFundMe. You can even my Twitter is out there. You can look it up through there as well. We're just looking. And if anybody does want to at least read the story for yourself and find out what we're talking about, the story is there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you do nothing else, you must read the story.
Well, it's unique.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's a little awkward for me.
Yeah.
Being in the news industry, it's not a story that you want to tell, and it's certainly not one that, you know, you enjoy being the subject of. Isn't that the first rule of news, Paul J? Don't ever read the news and be the guy that's in the news.
Don't want to do that.
No.
Well, and you know, this is such a weird thing, because when was the first time you ever even heard the word rhabdomyosarcoma?
Yeah, the very first time was when we heard Nico was diagnosed with it.
Exactly.
So it's rare, and but it is very real, and his situation is pretty dire. Stage 4, group 4. Doesn't get much more severe than that.
Huh. Now, you have another son and you have two daughters. How are they all doing right now?
Fortunately, the girls, they're 6 and 3, and are a little too young to really understand that he doesn't feel very well.
Right.
My 16-year-old son has been a trooper through it, and a lot stronger than I think a lot of people would think for 16, you know.
Yeah,
he's done a great job.
He was even willing to, you know, not go on a trip that he was scheduled to go on. And apparently Nico told him, come on, go. Yeah.
He was scheduled to go on a little 3-on-3 basketball tournament up in Spokane and said, no, I'll stay here with you. And Nico was in the hospital at the time. And Nico basically said, I don't want to see you for 4 days. Get out of here. He's been a good kid.
Good.
Been hard. Been real hard, though.
I mean, it's hard to say best of luck when you're in a situation like this, but.
I appreciate you letting me come in and tell the story, though. Thank you very much.
But,
and again, it's if people would like to contribute, it's at GoFundMe.com.
You can go to the GoFundMe page. You could just Google Worthington Family Healing Fund.
Right.
And anything that has to do with another Worthington being arrested is not me. Worthington Family Healing Fund.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, Rick. Well, you know, best of luck and... we're going to be seeing you every day, so...
Yeah, I'll still be here. I'm going to do my job every day, and it's been a nice, safe haven to be able to come into work and do what we do. So thank you.
KBOI News Time, 8:56. We'll be back.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. It's 9:06. Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Thursday morning talking with Rick in the last half hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tam and I were just blown away by how quickly and completely his life changed in 3 weeks.
Well, you know.
It was amazing.
At the beginning of 2017, I think, you know, his family, it's, you know, his wife and him, it's four children, so six of them. At mm-hmm. the beginning of 2017, yeah, they were probably doing just fine or felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here we are, 6 months and 1 week into the year, and it's completely gone, you know, 180 degrees. His wife has breast cancer and, of course, is being treated for that. And he says that, you know, she's past the worst of it, and I hope that's true. With cancer, you never really know.
You don't.
And then all of a sudden, his son, who's 13 years old, I mean, good grief. What were you dealing with when you were 13? I was delivering papers and playing ball.
Yep.
You know, stuff like that.
Trying to remember where I put my baseball cards.
Well, yeah, exactly. You still wish you had them back, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a difficult thing to deal with. I already got an instant message from Dave of Boise. And he says, first of all, I am truly sorry to hear about cancer happening to anybody. I would like to know why no one asked the question, why? Well, I think people do ask that. It's just that, you know, out in public, you don't tend to scream it. You just ask it, you know, in private or in prayer or something. Why are there so many people in this country that have cancer in the first place? About the cost, it is preposterous how much we are charged for life-saving treatment. I figure the medical field is double dipping. They get paid billions for research, so why can't the results be free or very cheap to those who really need it? And, you know, that's a big thing going on in this country right now. There are people who think that we should be on the European system, or at least the Australian system of health care, or at least health insurance, where in Australia, they simply made it so that you cannot go bankrupt because of something like what's going on in their family. And it's like Rick said, you know, he had a savings account. He probably still has the account, but he doesn't have the savings anymore because, you know, this is just something that ends up costing people a ton.
Well, and you have no idea how expensive things are.
Mm-hmm. Until you start going through it.
Until you start going through it yourself, and when you do, you realize that, you know, wow.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose wife was in the hospital for 3 days. Guess how much the bill was?
3 days? I don't know. I wouldn't be able to.
$79,000.
Oh, my goodness.
3 days. Rick just said he and his family were back home or will be back home this weekend after 17 days in the hospital.
Wow. Well, and
with
and
two
your,
people, not one.
Your friend, I mean, that comes out to more than $1,100 an hour.
Yeah. And the deal is it's all different. What you are charged. I mean, if you went to the hospital for a day and I went to the hospital for a day,
right?
Depending on our circumstance, I mean, widely variant in what we're charged.
Yeah, exactly. This sort of thing, it touches so many people, so many different lives and so many families.
But they want their money. They'll take their money. Well, they'll get their money.
Well, and the deal is, you know, I don't fault them for that. I don't necessarily fault them for that. Let's put it that way.
Right.
I don't know who's out there making a profit. I know that one smarmy guy that's you know, going to court right now because it's because of fraud. It's something separate, but he's the same guy who, as soon as he figured out that his company was the only one making a life-saving drug for people, he decided to jack up the price. What was it, like 500 times or something of that nature? Anyway, I don't know the exact numbers, but you know, he's probably the worst of that particular industry. But I don't fault. I know research is very expensive. I know that hospital equipment is very expensive. And I know, you know, there are hundreds of people that generally work in hospitals that need to be paid. And, you know, it's not a cheap thing, obviously. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to hear from some of you this morning who maybe have been touched by this sort of thing in your lives, a cancer story of some sort. And you know, and I don't mean this, you know, this hour to be a downer for anybody. I just would like to know your story of you know, maybe how it's affected your life or how you know somebody whose life it has affected in certain ways. You know, it could be, you know, there could be some positive part to the story. Generally, it's obviously mostly negative, and unless there's a cure. But if you could just call us, 336-3700, 336-3700, if there's something you'd like to share about it. Rick was very personal with us this morning, sharing this information about his family and, you know, even about his financial situation.
Sure.
And at a time like this, I think basically that you kind of start to feel like you begin to know who your friends are and begin to realize that you have more than you thought you had. Yeah. And it's like I said, there have already been, I guess, 196 people so far who have donated to his GoFundMe campaign. They have a goal of $50,000, which I think at minimum is what this is going to cost, you know, just for this year, at minimum.
Yeah.
Well, and they've raised about $18,000 so far, which is just, it's amazing the outpouring that he's gotten thus far. And, you know, we hope it continues. But we would like to hear from you this morning, 336-3700. We're going to need to take a break. When we come back, we'll take some calls. It is 913 at KBOI.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. Let's go to John. John of Boise. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning. You're talking to me.
We are.
We are, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear a click. Anyway, I find it interesting, and I was trying to come up with something, because I look at it a little bit different. The cost of medical is all the regulations. You know, when they test the medicine, and then it can be already approved in Europe, but we still have to spend a few more billion on it here before it can be approved here.
True.
The government.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, one of the things I wanted to bring out, as I think like this, is education. Because I remember President Obama said that the banks were ripping the students off on student loans, and he was going to make it better and cheaper. And today we have what? The highest debt for students ever. And I think that's what people need to look at. And I believe, and I'll bring up President Trump, is trying to stop this regulation out of control, needless cost to free enterprise.
Yeah.
That's what I see. I don't know if you know, that's what you see, but that's
no, I mean
what I
it's
see.
That makes perfect sense. And you know, I mean, everybody understands why there are regulations to a certain extent, especially in the medical field, because you don't want something to be introduced and then you remember, like, what was the drug that pregnant women were taking back in the late 50s, early 60s, and then, you know, the kids were you know, being
thalidomide.
Yeah, thalidomide, exactly. Kids were being born deformed. Now they don't want things like that to happen, so there are a certain number of regulations, you know, just so you know, for public safety. But you're right, when it starts to work all over the world and then we still have to spend six more years studying it, sometimes that just gets frustrating. Yeah,
that's why I think a little common sense.
Yeah, exactly.
They just down the line, we're going to do it this way. We don't care about anything else. And anyway, that was just, I wanted to throw that out there.
All right.
And enjoy.
Thanks,
John. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, that's strange. KBOI rewards code CARE, CARE. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter CARE, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Let's go to Matt. Boise. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Certainly an unfortunate event for for your colleague, and my thoughts and prayers certainly go to him and his family.
Thank you.
For sure. I've been not personally affected, but indirectly affected. I have an employee that works for me whose wife had gotten breast cancer and then again had returned as cervical cancer, and she beat it twice, thank God, but the mounting medical costs are darn near six figures for what they owe, not the care, but for what they owe, their portion of it. And that's with her corporate, she works for a corporation here in the banking industry, that's with her corporate insurance kicking in as well, too. And I think it's ridiculous. I it's for the same reason that my wife works just for insurance because I'm self-employed.
Yeah.
Because we can't afford it.
One of the reasons I'm still working is the fact that my wife, does not work for a big corporation. She has a home business, and we have to have our own insurance, and it's one of the reasons I'm still working.
And I think we all can agree. We're not sure what it's going to take to make it happen, but we all agree that something needs to change, and it needs to change as soon as possible. I honestly think it's one of the sole reasons why bankruptcies happen. I can tell you I was in an accident a number of years ago, and I spent a good portion of about 2.5 weeks in the hospital and spent another 9 months in rehab, physical rehabilitation.
Right.
And my costs, my overall costs were over $200,000, and I negotiated a cash price to settle with them, including my insurance. And it still was an astronomical fee, and I get it, it's expensive, but I wish, even on my worst enemies, I don't wish anything like that upon them, because it just, it'll wipe you out, and that's a bad thing to have happen. If they're able to set a cap on liability, then why can't they set a cap on how much that we have to forbear the financial burden? That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. And then, there are those who walk in off the street for free.
I've seen that personally myself, and it just makes me scratch my head.
Oh, yeah.
So, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Good stuff. Thank you. And that, that really does chap a lot of people, the fact that, well, you don't have anything, you never, whatever.
Well, yeah, and
but on exactly. The other hand, you don't want them to be broke either.
True, and in the medical field, they have what's called the Hippocratic Oath, that named after Hippocrates,
right,
father of medicine, and in ancient Greek. But the the oath is that you simply help those who need to be helped,
fellow.
Exactly. You simply help those who need to be helped.
Yep.
And then you worry about the cost. You worry about all that stuff later. I mean, and ideally, that's fantastic. Emergency rooms, free clinics, and things like that have a tendency to do that. Most free clinics, of course, exist based on donations from a lot of times large corporations and rich people who keep them going for the benefit of those who don't have anything. But you're right. I mean, if you don't have anything, you walk into an emergency room. They will treat you, and at some point the cost will be absorbed probably by taxpayers. And the argument against that is, why should I even bother to plan when other people don't? Because there are people who are very good with money, and they start out from the very first time they get a job, maybe as a teenager, they start out planning for the lean times. Not, always expecting, things are just going to get better and better and better. So spend. Everything will be fine. What they do is plan for the lean times, and the lean times do come. And, there are people who start their own businesses, and somebody said, wow, I wish I had the money to start a business. And I said, well, you know what? People who start businesses don't always have the money to do it, but sometimes they spend a couple of decades or even longer being very, very uncomfortable until they finally find success, assuming that they do. And there are people who work hard and don't find any sort of success. But the other side of that is that since, you know, since we're already paying, you know, through taxpayer money for some of these people anyway, and the medical companies, you know, they don't just absorb the cost. It has to come from the government. There are people who say, well, let's expand that. Well, we do. We have Medicaid. We have Medicare, which we didn't have until, you know, not that many years ago. It's difficult to really come up with a situation that makes everybody happy. You know, what we had under the last president, people say, well, I'm not completely happy with that simply because I was doing all right, paying a certain amount, and all of a sudden I'm paying a lot more. And they said, well, you know, don't forget all these millions of people, you know, now have something where they had nothing. And I said, yeah, but I had something and now I'm just spending.
Now I have less.
So, you know, no, it's not been a terrific system yet that we've figured out. 9:26, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Let's get to the phones. Bill of Napa up next. Bill, good morning.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I guess from the get-go, just for your colleague and friend, to share his story. That was just an amazing thing. Choked me up. Completely unaware of it, but obviously I don't work down there. But it just takes a great guy to be able to put those challenges up. But I can guarantee you that he's got a lot more friends and a lot more prayers going his way.
Terrific.
As well as with you, Paul J.
Well, thank you. And I think you're right. I think you never know how many friends you got till you need them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing, just a couple of things I want to share. I won't take up a lot of time, but you know, it's kind of like the new Trump health care bill. Basically, from what I'm understanding right now, people who need help, you know, I'm 61 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My health is not perfect by any matter of means. Could be a lot worse, I guess, so to speak.
Sure.
But from what I'm understanding, you know, we're going to be the people that are going to be basically knocked out or penalized for just our age and general health conditions.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congressional Budget Office ended up saying, with certain changes that have been made in the current Senate bill, that about 32 million people who currently have insurance would end up not having it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously they're going to keep working on this until they get something that everybody likes, assuming they ever do.
Sure, sure. And about the only other thing I want to share is that I've gone through it when I was in the hospital for 3 days, and I won't mention the hospital.
Sure.
$60,000.
Wow. There you are.
And I saw that bill, and I just absolutely, you know, I'm not a negative person, but I assume there had to be some error. But I tried negotiating it down. I tried doing anything I could. I didn't have insurance. It was a no-go. I ended up filing bankruptcy 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep, and yours is a story we hear over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess one other thing that is a situation that, you know, it goes back. We're talking probably easily 12, 15 years ago. Gentleman I worked with, he was one of those lucky people that, and I guess we can smile a little bit on listening to this, but back in the, mid-50s, if I remember right, he bought a lot up there on Hillcrest Drive.
Yeah.
And built a nice, prudent home, and that home obviously escalated in value to no end. But his wife got sick, and they had insurance, but the insurance only paid when it used to be when they would say 80-20 insurance, you would assume that they would pick up 80 and you'd pay 20. Wrong. Anyway, sold his house. They ended up in a manufactured home during her last days. And it to this day, it's one of the sadder things.
Yeah, it's not right. And I'm of the age now where I get thanks for the call, by the way. I'm of the age now where I get these things all the time, Chris, saying somebody needs your help, et cetera, et cetera. And there are people that, when I was a kid, had lots of money, and they don't now.
Yeah.
Things
change, and they can change quickly. It's like we were talking about Rick's family.
Yep. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis of Boise. Dennis.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I'm not trying to be a downer or nothing, but I got cancer 41 years ago, and they said I'd live 2 to 5 years. Well, I'm still here.
No, that's not a downer at all. I mean, congratulations.
No, but I'd like to say a little bit. My sister got cancer about a year before I did, and she didn't make it. My father was a very famous cowboy, world champion, and he died at 57. So I guess I'm blessed that I'm still here, but the biggest thing, I live in a little town, and I want to tell you one little story. I got very, very sick and couldn't do nothing, and I was building me a new feedlot. I just got married to my wife, Linda, and I come home one day, and there's 42 people, ranchers and farmers around there, and they built an entire feedlot for me in one day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Paul Jay, I know what you've been going through, and I went through it, but the medical deal is absolutely ridiculous. You know, I'm sure we've paid more than between $300,000 and $400,000 out of our own pocket.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I guess I'm blessed I can do it. But there's so many people don't pay nothing. That's what
I know.
I don't know.
It's and then you have other people who scrimp and save their whole lives, so they'll you know.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Boom, gone.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But, you know, we got tremendous doctors, you know.
Yep.
And nurses and everything else, and we got to be blessed that we have them. But I don't know why I'm still here. I've lost 4 of my immediate family, you know, my sister and a brother and my father. But I believe in the good Lord. But you know what? If we got friends, that means more than anything. I don't care how much money you got.
No question.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, all right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Need to take a break. KBOI News Time, 9:43. Paul Chan, Chris, Thursday morning. Let's go to Vicki. Vicki of Nampa. Vicki.
Hi. I'm very interested in the health care problems we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I've searched, I don't know how much Medicare costs per person and how much Obamacare or whatever we have costs per person.
Mm-hmm.
And insurance companies, I believe the last that I read was about 30% go to the insurance company. So if you took the 30% from the insurance company and whatever we already pay for health care, it seems like we could have Medicare for everybody, have a one single payer. Without spending any more money.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I know, but I hear all these people.
No, you're right.
They're going bankrupt.
Yep.
For medical costs, it just seems so unfair.
You know, we talked earlier about the program that they have in Australia, which I mentioned, and they, again, the Australians say the main reason that they created it the way they did is so that, you know, nobody would have to go bankrupt in order to pay for their medical care or medical insurance. And the system they have there essentially is that if you can pay for better care and for better hospitals, for better doctors and things, you are welcome to do so. But if you can't, then there is a certain minimum that you do, that you are guaranteed. And you know, and according to them, it's as good as basic medical care anywhere. I don't know that for a fact; haven't been there, obviously. But I don't know. I just, you know, without necessarily turning this into a socialist country, because we are still a place where you work hard and you know, you get what you earn. Without necessarily doing that, it would be nice if we could at least get rid of certain, you know, just bad luck reasons why you could go completely broke. But again, you know, smarter people than I have attempted to solve this problem for years and haven't come up with anything that everyone likes yet.
I know. PBS had, I think it was on Nova a few years ago, they compared Germany's healthcare, Japan, and Cuba,
mm-hmm.
and they're all, you know, and it seems that a lot of those people were getting better care than we are.
Hmm.
And I know some, you know, whoever's my newspaper can't afford to go in because you can't afford the copay or the $6,800 or whatever the minimum is for
Obamacare. Yeah.
So she's at home there, you know, needing lots of stuff and can't go. It seems like a country like ours could do better.
Yeah.
I don't have the solution, but I just know we're spending a lot on stuff we like the insurance companies. Why are we giving them 30%?
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Vic.
Okay. Bye.
Let's go to Sean. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I kind of wanted to piggyback on to what your previous caller was saying. And there's a really good article that was written maybe 4 or 5 years ago in Time magazine. I believe it was called The Bitter Pill.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically followed a couple of different families that were dealing with cancer through the whole process. And one of them had insurance, and one of them had just was going to have to basically remortgage their house in order to be able to try to survive the illness that they had. And it was pretty eye-opening when you started looking at the disparity of what people paying cash. Believe it or not, they paid a lot more paying cash than they were through their insurance companies. And they basically follow it through and say, well, why is it costing so much? And they started looking at back in you know, years ago, usually some of the highest paid people of the community were business leaders or entrepreneurs. And they're starting to see how that now when you go into these communities, the highest paid people usually in those communities are people who are part of the local hospital. And, you know, all these hospitals have this non-profit status, and basically how they stay within that status is at the end of the year with their profits, they do these massive expansions, look at St. Luke's right now downtown, and they pay their board. And, you know, a lot of people want to talk about the cost of medication or the doctor's fees, where when you really look at the hospital administrative fees, that is usually what is driving all those costs up. And, you know, and then the other thing I was hearing a lot this morning that I really don't like to hear either is we're always blaming it on the poor people that don't have insurance and how that's driving our costs up. And realistically, I'm a firefighter, and, you know, probably well over 50% of the people that we transport, we know don't have insurance or aren't going to be able to pay anything.
Well, over 50%, huh?
Yeah, well over 50%. But those people aren't what's driving it up. It's administrative fees. It's the big farm industries. Like Vicky said, it's the percentage that we pay on top of our insurance premiums. It's really easy to blame the poor because they have no voice. They have no lobby. They have nothing working for them. It's really easy to say, well, that's just like welfare. I mean, welfare costs have such an insignificant part of our budget. I mean, or the national debt. I mean, look at corporate welfare. I mean, we pay a lot more in corporate welfare than we ever pay for welfare. And that's just really what I wanted to get out there is until we can talk about Obamacare, we can talk about Medicare, until we go in and totally revamp our healthcare system, we're never going to see improvements. That's all I got. Thanks.
Yeah, good stuff. All right.
Well, I mean, and a lot of the problem lies in trying to have a happy medium between a free market and socialism, because in places where they say, you know, they have simply free health care, they say it's working, but they, you know, they pay an awful lot of taxes. But for their taxes, they do tend to get, you know, quite a few benefits. Like,
exactly.
For instance, I told you, you know, my relatives in Norway that they had a pregnancy and had gave birth to my cousin in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't pay a dime for anything from the very beginning to the very end. And they even had doctors and nurses that were making house calls for them. And they said the care was fantastic. And it was also completely free. And that's the same.
And they knew they were going to get it.
Well,
and they knew what
to
expect.
Yeah, the same went for medication and things like that. Okay. And that's the one way. That sounds fantastic. And then the other way is you simply make everything, you know, go through responsibility and you let people compete if possible. I think a lot of the problem with that, though, is when the drug companies, you know, Big Pharma and things like that, they stop competing and just figure, hey, let's all raise the price. And, you know, and that's bound to happen, too. I mean, I hope there's not collusion there, but you never know.
No, you don't. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But if you know what to expect,
yeah,
what's coming down the pike,
mm-hmm,
how much you're going to owe at any point,
yeah,
in time,
well, and you
makes
know,
a heck
and,
of a difference.
And like I said, I mean, this time is probably gone and probably won't come back. But there was a time when, you know, you did for yourself. I know, and it's kind of glamorized, but you did for yourself. But it wasn't just you. Usually, it was your entire extended family that helped you in some way.
Yep.
And, you know, you helped the grandparents. The grandparents helped with, you know, the next generation and the generation after that. And, again, you know, I'm making it sound utopian, and it never did work for every single person. But we, as I said, we haven't found something that does yet.
You know, once again, it worked for people with money.
Well,
as things almost always do.
Yeah.
All right, it's 9:55. We'll see you tomorrow with No Phones Friday.